Somebody shout, I have no fear. I fear no terror by night. I fear no arrow that fly by the day. Come on, let's give quality thanks to God for keeping us alive, for his protection. Let's thank him from the depths of our heart. Confidently thank God for your protection, for your preservation, and that of your family. Thank him for testimonies of exemption in the past. Give him the glory for your security, even now and in the future. Thank him. Thank him. Do it very loudly. Do it very profusely. Let faith arise in your heart. Thank you and thank you and thank you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name, we have given thanks. Father, we thank you for this beautiful and wonderful morning. We laid down, we slept, and we woke up because you sustained us. You kept us alive because you have a great plan for us. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, send forth your word again this morning, even as we have interceded individually, and let each person encounter you in a strange manner this morning. And let all the saints of God expecting God's encounter say a very loud amen. The blood of Jesus is our covering. With the blood in place, Satan will always be displaced. Every scheme of the devil against your life, your family today is displaced. Will the choir lead us? Just shortly. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lord, we have overcome. Let's quickly do that right now.
We have overcome. We have overcome.
By the blood.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Please, let somebody who can sing it take that microphone, please. We have overcome. We have overcome.
We overcome
by the blood,
by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of the Lord, we have overcome.
Say with me, we have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lord. We have overcome. Make it personal. I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of the Lord. I have overcome. Let's go.
We have overcome.
We have overcome.
We have overcome.
overcome. I am exempted from every danger. No evil shall befall me. No plague will come near my dwelling. Hallelujah. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. Please get seated. It is my year of breaking limits. I can see you want to clap for the Lord. Do that right now. Hallelujah. I want to gladly welcome each and every one of us into this communion service, which is also our covenant day of exemption. When they are counting people in danger, your name will not be listed. Now, say a very loud amen. No matter the arrows of the enemy flying, you will never be a target. Every evil schemed against you and your family members will go back to the senders. In the name of Jesus. Loudly declare with me again the prophetic focus for the month. I am a child of destiny. Say it again. That shall be confirmed in your life. Even today, in the name of Jesus. Our teaching series every Sunday is understanding how God leads. Everything about God and from God is always explicit. God is not a confusionist. When he speaks clearly. That's why the word of God tells us by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every truth shall be established. God makes his will very clear all of the time. With God, there is no ambiguity. Everything from him is clear. By way of introduction, be reminded that our destiny is in redemption. It's not a destination, but an adventure. Adventure. We are made to have continuous progress. Our yesterday is not supposed to be better than today. You will never tell the story of a better yesterday again. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. The path of the justified. Remember, we are justified according to Romans chapter 8, from verses 29 to 30. The path of the justified is as a shining light. So me, I'm a shining light. Say it again. You may not look like it now, but say it. You may be a laborer in a corner today, but say it again. And that shining light is expected to shine more. Unless, what did he say? For you, more. And more until the perfect day. What is that perfect day? The day of the appearance of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, not the shame of life, the glory of the Lord. What do you see? The glory of the Lord. We are changed or elevated into the same image from glory to glory. So there are levels of glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Say with me, my level is changing. Now, but this adventure is usually motivated by how and what you see. And I'd like you to carefully follow me, please. Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, anyone that won't let you see your future, may they be separated from you. There are people who cast a burden on your mind. God will take them out of your way. There are people who block your view. They won't let you see your future. May God take them away from you. After that Lot was separated, may you be separated from people who let you make progress. There are doubt personified people. Anything you say, they just doubt you. God will take them out of your way. The Lord said to him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are. Look, 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 look to see. Say with me, I see. See northward, southward, eastward, westward. Verse 15, very crucial. For as all the land which you see, all that you see, all that you see, to you will I give it. What will God give to you? What you see. So me, I see and I receive from God what I see. So you see, it is not what God gives that limits you, but what you see. See a future in your future. See prosperity. See advancement. See progress. See a better tomorrow. Say, I see. Now, precious mothers, why do you buy toys for your children? Babies, few months old, why do you give them toys? By giving them toys, you are motivating them to move. If you see a child who is not excited and not moving the hand, just play the toy and you see the child stretching the hand. When you see a child, a toddler, that is not crawling, what do? You put a toy a bit away from that child, and when that child sees the toy, he wants to grab it, and in the process is moving from the same spot. That is why God gives us vision. He gives us vision so we can move, so that we can strive in order to be able to thrive. So we can strive in order to be able to thrive. Now, when I see somebody who is stagnated, the first thing I want to do is to paint a picture of his future before him. You can't see a future and remain stagnated. No! The reason why many people are on the same spot is because they can't see, like they say, beyond their nose. You naturally break the yoke of failure when you see success. You break the yoke of poverty when you see prosperity. You break the yoke of stagnation when you see a future before you. That's why God gives us vision. Without vision, we are doomed. Without vision, we are stagnated. Without vision, we cannot advance. So you have to keep saying, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, my fear is gone. Because I know he owns my future. And like his word, I live in just because he lives. Say with me, my tomorrow is better. Confidently say, my tomorrow is brighter. Hallelujah. You know something? If the devil could stop me from what I'm telling you right now, he would do whatever he can. He's so scared about what you are hearing right now. He's so scared to know you are not defeated, you are not downcast. There is something better awaiting you. Now, lift up your hand. I decree that you will continue to see a future in your future. Every child of God has an enviable destiny in Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. we, as Isaac, are children of promise. Galatians 4:28, Genesis 26, verses 12 to 14. Isaac was envied in the midst of the Philistines, yet they couldn't stop him. You may be envied, but you can never be stopped. Any devil attempting to stop you will end underneath your feet. But please note, this race we are talking about is not by might, not by power, but by strength. For by strength shall no man prevail. For Samuel chapter 2 verse 9. We cannot do it by ourselves. Say with me, I cannot do it by myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11. Then I returned, Solomon said, and I discovered that the race is not to the swift, not to smart people. You know, we live in a world today where people talk about smartness. Don't join them. Don't try to be smart. Just follow the Lord. I'm not a smart person. I'm just a follower of Jesus. The race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. How are the mighty fallen and the weapons of war lost? Neither yet bread to the wise. Many people who have graduated first class, they are hungry. No bread to eat. Highly intellectual, but empty stomach. Nor yet riches to men of understanding. It is not understanding that brings riches, nor yet favor to men of skill. You've seen many people who know many things, but they lack everything. It is not skills that make people. Time and chance happen to all of them. The best that can ever happen for a man, the natural man, is time and chances. People in this world live by guesswork, by chances. Let me try if it will work. But for us, children of God, we don't try, we only follow. Because he knows the end from the beginning. It is the hand of God that leads us. Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 to 18. They came out of Egypt. Nobody knew how the journey went, but God led them not through the way of the sea, but he led the people. He led the people about. God led the people about. Now, I pray that from today, you'll be responding to God's leading in your life. Deuteronomy 32, verses 10. 11, 10, 12, and 13. He found him in a desert place, in a holy wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him. Verse 12. So the Lord alone did lead him. May the Lord alone lead you. There was no stranger among them. And in verse 13, by the leading of the Lord, he made him. Our making is in God's leading. God's leading is what determines man's making. Please lift up your hand with me again. Don't worry, I'm asking you to lift up your hand several times. It's one way by which we pray to God. Say of me, shepherd of my soul, lead me now. Lead me always. Lead me every day. You will not miss God's leading again. I'm the Lord thy God which teaches thee in the way to go. Isaiah 48 verse 17 and verse 21. They tasted not when he led them. Now, how do you assess divine guidance? Very important. Be spiritual. Be spiritually aligned. Those of you who know a bit about vehicles, motor vehicles, there's what they call alignment. Alignment simply means being on the same line. And like they will say today, being on the same page. On the same page. You have to be on the same page with God. What is the page of God? God's page is spirituality. God is spiritual. And only those who are spiritual can meet with him. Be on the same page with God. Be on the same line with God. Water will flow into the next pipe if it is only aligned to the source. Be spiritual. Radio, television stations are on 24/7. But for you to catch the voice or the sight, you have to be spiritually tuned. You have to be tuned. And they talk about tuning and fine tuning. You need to fine tune your spirit. You need to be connected. That's what it means. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 14. Why must we be spiritually aligned? The natural man, that is human beings, cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discovered and understood. God will not change his line. It is you that will have to align and realign to him. Psalm 25 verses 12 to 14. What man is he that feareth the Lord? That's another word for spirituality. Walk in the fear of God. Don't toy with sin. Walk in the fear of God. The fear of God is to depart from sin and iniquity. Proverbs 8:13. Number two, to assess divine guidance, you have to keep craving to be led. You have to desperately desire that God will lead you. Many people are not desperate enough for God. That's why they don't find him. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13. Then shall ye seek me. Ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. What about your heart? Your heart is the place of your desire. Your heart is the place of your desperation and hunger. Not just with your mouth, but desperately in prayer. Father, please lead me. Hear David praying. Psalm 25 verse 5. You have to be desperate. You have to pray in such a manner that you let God know you don't have an option. Going my way is not the option. The only option I have is God's lead. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Number three, way to assess divine guidance. It is through the revelation of the word. Through revelation of the word. What does that mean? The word of God is basically light. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, those of you who are familiar with lamp, if you want the lamp to keep burning, what do? Fill it with kerosene or with any form of fuel as it applies. If your lamp is filled with fuel, you don't bother about the burning of light. What do I mean by that? Fill your heart, your soul with the word, and the word will naturally be guiding you. Word guidance is the surest guidance, is the most error-free guidance. Why? Because the word of God has been tried 7 times. The word of God is accurate. The word of God is perfect. Listen to me. A prophet may be imperfect. Word of prophecy may be imperfect. Discerning of spirit may be imperfect. Every gift may be imperfect, but the word of God is perfect. No error in the word of God. So to be guided error-free, be word-full. Word-full. Psalm 43, verse 3. The word of the Lord. As David prayed, oh, send out your light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Can you see that? Let them lead me. The light of the word. The truth of the word. That's how to be guided or to assess divine guidance. Now, the next step. What are the biblical proofs of being led by the Spirit? How do you know that you are led by the Spirit? When you are led by the Spirit of God on a particular subject or in a particular area of your life, you will see revelation, spiritual insight flooding your soul. the word of God will be bearing you witness. God's word and God's spirit are never in contradiction. Anytime you see a contradiction by what you claim to see with the word of God, then there's a problem. God's word and God's leading are never in contradiction. What do I mean? For instance, somebody says he has a vision that he should marry a second wife. You know, people see different things. They see different things. Amen. But what is the light of the word of God? Is that what the word of God says? So, in such case, you place the word over what you claim to see. Is somebody with me this morning? Psalm 48, verse 7. I'm the Lord thy God, which leadeth thee in the way to go. Which teacheth thee to profit. Which teacheth thee. Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 17. Psalm 32, verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I will watch over you with my eyes. Number two, biblical proof for being led by the Spirit. When you are led by the Spirit of God, you are naturally strengthened to pursue that thing. God's leading comes with God's strength. It comes with God's eagerness. It comes with God's drive. There are certain things you discover God has told you, and then you are so drivey about it. Why? That is a proof that he is the one who sent you. Judges chapter 6 verse 14. Have not I sent thee? Go in this thy might. When he sends you, he strengthens you. When God sends you, he strengthens you. When God sends you, he strengthens you. If you can, one more time, please lift up your hand. I want to pray over your life. I pray that from today, you will never suffer misguidance again. I pray that from today, the forces of heaven will back up the leading of God in your life. Particularly as you go this week, the mighty hand of Jehovah that led them through the wilderness will lead you into your place of glory. There is a place for you this week. The hand of the God of this commission will lead you there. The mighty hand that led Oedipo to Canaan land will lead you to your own place and destiny. In Jesus' precious name. Say with me, I am fully covered. By redemption, we are not permitted to suffer what the world around us suffers. Say with me, I will not suffer what they suffer. When they are cast down, when they are cast down, for me there shall be a lifting up. There is nothing new under the sun. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 9, every time you see something new, check the scriptures. You will discover that such had happened before. If it had happened before, what did God do about it? That will inform us of the things that God will do today. For instance, we saw how God exempted the Israelites from the plague that came upon Egypt. They were in the neighborhood of Egypt, but evil couldn't step there. What were the plagues in Egypt? Remember, God has promised us that he will not allow any of the diseases upon the Egyptians to come upon us. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. I think that's in Exodus chapter 12, chapter 15, verse 26. Or check it out for us, please. I will not allow, now look at that, the fourth line. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The evil happening to them will never locate you. Number one, we saw swarm of flies. Exodus chapter 8, verse 20 to 24. And the Lord did so. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. If you will not let them go, behold, I will send swarms of flies. And flies, like we know, connotes decadence and stench. The house of fly is in the place of decay. That's where they gather. When things are decaying in this world and flies come in their way to celebrate the decadence and the stench, you will never be located. Number two, death of cattle, which implies collapse of businesses and careers. Take time to study these scriptures when you get home. Exodus chapter 9, verses 1 to 7. God told Pharaoh again, I will kill all your cattle. Business collapse is what we see all around us today. Careers have been destroyed, but yours shall be exempted. Let somebody who believes the word of the Lord say aloud, amen. Remember, it is what you believe that God will confirm. Say with me, I believe. My business and career shall not collapse. My career shall not be destroyed. Number three, we saw hails and tempest mingled with fire. That's what they call natural disasters, which connotes devastation and destruction. Exodus chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. Hailstorm, fire, very grievous, that came upon the land of Egypt. But it did not touch the camp of the Israelites. Say of me, I shall be exempted. In the days of devastation and destruction, it will not come near me. Number four, we saw what has been described as gross darkness. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 23. One thing we all know is that when it is dark, motion is slowed down. Direction is lost because you can't see. Gross darkness shall come upon the people. It connotes lack of direction, stagnation, frustration, despair. You hear people say, we don't even know what will happen again because they are already in darkness. But you shall be accepted. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the heart, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon your life. We also saw, number 5, the plague of sudden death. Sudden death. It will not knock the door of your house again. Your family will never record sudden death again. There shall be no more death of babies, of infants, of toddlers, of youths, of middle-aged people in your family again. Even the pregnancy in your family shall be kept by the hand of God. Chapter 12 of Exodus, verses 29 to 31. We saw how God said, I will kill your firstborn if you don't let them go. All of that happened. But in Israel, there was an exemption of God's people. There was no noise of any kind in the camp of Israel. If you can, raise your hand. I decree that with this hand raised up, you are indicating before the Lord that evil will not come close to you. Now, in addition to this example, we also saw that there was famine in the days of Abraham, in the days of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Yet they were gloriously exempted. You will not beg to eat. You will not borrow to cloth. You will not borrow to pay your children's school fees. They were exempted. They were exempted. Genesis 26, verse 1. Another famine came in the days of Isaac, different from the day of his father Abraham. But what happened? Verses 12 to 14. Isaac sowed in the land. He knew what to do. God showed him what to do, just like he will show you what to do. And in the same year when he sowed, he received an hundredfold. Hundredfold, where others were struggling and closing down. They will be selling, you will be buying. They will be selling their property, you will be buying them. Until Isaac became very great. He was great, went forward, grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. We saw also in the days of Jacob, Genesis 43, verses 1, 11 and 12, another famine. There was famine, sore, very sore in the land, in the day of Jacob. God who kept Abraham, God who kept Isaac, will keep you. And their father, Isaac, said to his children, if it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits in the land, in your vessels. There was famine, but he had the best of fruits. The best of fruits. The best of fruits. He was not only eating food, he was taking fruits. He was taking desserts. After the main course, he was taking the appetizer, then the main course, and the dessert. And carry down the man, a person, that is carrying the gift to a king, the king. Even kings will be looking up to you. A little balm, a little honey, spices, myrrh, nuts, and almonds. Those are expensive fruits. It's not like granite you find everywhere. Almond. Amen. That is a man, a covenant man, giving gifts to king. You others are looking up to king. Jacob was blessing the king. God will use you to bless great people. Say very loud, amen. Covenant people usually flourish in hard times. Hard times is your opportunity to shine forth. Hard times is the believer's opportunity to shine forth. Darkness is the opportunity for our light to show. You don't know the value of a candle until there is darkness. Darkness around you is making way for you to shine. Darkness will not overcome you. Your light will overshadow the darkness around you. Say louder, amen. Genesis 47, 15 to 27. Psalm 33, 18 to 19. The word of God assures us that it will deliver your soul from death and keep you alive in famine. Verses 18 and 19. That's what God said it will do. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The eye of the Lord is upon you and upon them that hope in his mercy. I don't know what they hope in, but I hope in the mercy of God. And something about the mercy of God, the mercy of the Lord endures forever. The eye of mercy is always the eye of pity. God will pity you when others are in the pit. God will pity you when others are in the pit. As we begin to round up, how do you exercise your redemption rights? How do you exercise your redemption right? Your exemption right, rather, please. How do you exercise your exemption right? Number one, you must have a revelation of your exemption in Christ. Revelation. That is, simply put, knowledge. You must have knowledge, adequate knowledge of your exemption. Knowledge doesn't jump on people. Knowledge is to be acquired. So you have to sit down, read the Bible, read other books that teaches you about protection and exemption. If you go to a doctor, he will diagnose you and give you specific prescription. If you have eye problem, your doctor will never give you treatment for stomach. So if you have issue with fear of protection, of exemption, sit down and locate books that teaches on protection, on exemption. Don't just read any books. Knowledge is specific. You have to go to the class of the knowledge of the area of your need. If you are poor, for instance, you don't read books on divine healing. That's not what you need at that time. You need to go to acquire knowledge. What does God say about my protection, about my exemption in the time of trouble? But as a taste to that, 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Say with me, I am peculiar. Now, because you are peculiar, you are exempted. 2 Peter verse 1 to 3. You are peculiar, therefore you are exempted. He saved you so you can enjoy glory and virtue. That's what that verse of scripture tells us. Revelation of God is cure to the fear of the devil. I want you to listen to this, please. Revelation of God is the cure to the fear of the devil and of circumstances. Those who see God don't fear men. Others were afraid of Goliath, but David was not afraid of him because he saw God. Every time you fear people is an indication that you have not yet seen God. Moses did not fear Pharaoh because Moses already saw God. When you see something bigger, you don't fear something smaller. Concerning your exemption, he said he will give his angels charge over you. So when you see angels, you don't fear accident, because they will bear you up in their hand, lest that dash your foot against it. The angels so much care, not only for your head or your body, but even for your feet. Your feet. The last place in the body is the feet of man. They so care from the sole of your feet to the top of your head. How do you imagine that you'll be involved in an accident? Say with me, never. That's why we talk about revelation, knowledge, insight. When you know what God has said concerning you, your fear is overwhelmed. That's why faith is born from knowledge of the truth. And once faith is born, fear will fade. Once faith is born, fear will fade. When faith becomes the image, fear is turned into shadow. When faith is born, fear will fade. When faith becomes the image before you, fear turns to shadow. Number two, a follow-up of number one. Develop a strong exemption mentality. Knowledge sharpens your thoughts. Knowledge is the food of the mind. What you know alters what you think. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what are you thinking? From the word of God, you are thinking, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Psalm 105 verse 13 to 15, you are thinking, the mark of the Lord Jesus upon me, let no man trouble me. Galatians chapter 6 verse 17. Number three, very important. Speak openly of your redemption right. Speak. Don't say what they say, otherwise you suffer what they suffer. Psalm 91 verse 2, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Leave them to their discussion. Initiate your own proclamation. Leave them to their discussion. Initiate your own proclamation. Don't reduce yourself to their level. Your utterances determines your entrance into any realm you want. Utter words like them, they will bring you down to their level. I will say of the Lord, God is waiting for you to say something that he will do for you. I will say of the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Look at verse 3. What will now happen in response to what you say? Then surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler. Why? Because I already said so. And from the noise and pestilence, he shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shall I trust. His suit shall be my shield and my buckler. As you say, he will do. As you say, he will perform. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Psalm 107 verse 2. And you know something? As you begin to say those things, your fear begins to fade. Look at the following verse. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror of my night. Back to Psalm 91. Because you are saying it and he is doing it, you will not fear. You will not fear. You will not fear. Now, number one cure to fear is your words. Your words. Those who speak fearless. Those who speak fearless. Fear increases with silence. Fear reduces with declarations. And I will say, oh, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Keep speaking. They are discussing about danger. Quickly tell them, minus me. Minus my children. Minus my family. Speak openly. Luke 21:15, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. None of your advice shall be able to resist nor gainsay. Proverbs 18:21, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Number 4, keep the love of God alive in your heart. Keep loving God. Keep serving God. Keep proclaiming his name. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for the good of them that love him. Psalm 91 verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will deliver him because he loves me. Lovers of God are peculiar to God. Lovers of God are precious to God. Lovers of God are valued by God. Your real value before God is your love for him. Just like a marriage relationship, a man will do anything he can to protect his wife if the wife keeps loving him. Isaiah 43, verse 4. Because you are precious in my sight and you have been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. Say aloud, amen. Amen. Lovers of God are valued, are precious, and therefore treasured and exempted. God will do anything to protect his lover. Keep loving God. Let your heart beat before God. Wake up in the morning, God. In the afternoon, God. In the evening, God. God in the morning, God in the afternoon, God in the evening time. Listen to me. If people are not worried the way you are talking about God, perhaps you don't love him enough. Have you ever met a woman who loves your husband? Every moment, my husband. 12 noon, I have to go back home. I want to prepare lunch for my husband. You will find that talking, my husband. Many people don't like it, especially in this generation. How can we talk about you every time, my husband? Are you the only one who is married? That's how you should talk about God. God, I want to go to church. God, I want to pray. God, we're having fasting tomorrow in our church. Are you the only you that's a Christian? It is when you become so addicted that you enjoy additions from God. Those who are addicted for God always enjoy additions from God. God doesn't play with me, because I don't play with him. You know how you hide your God? Even come to church this morning. You know how you hid your Bible? You hid your Bible inside newspaper. The Bible that does not have Genesis chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 22. You put it inside. They ask you, where are you going to? I want to get somewhere there. You are telling people, I want to get somewhere there. You can't tell them you are going to God. You are ashamed of God. That's how you will be ashamed of you. In the day of danger. God likes me. He likes me because I love him. He likes me. He likes Oyedepo because Oyedepo loves him. I will give men for your sake. That means when trouble is coming and he sees you about entering, he will withdraw you and push others inside it. That's why he said, 1,000 shall fall by your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it will not come to you. God means to say, I will prefer to sacrifice 11,000 people and spare you. If that's what you say, loud amen. Engage with covenant practice. That's the last point. Engage with covenant practice. Take care of the poor. Take care of the needy. You know what you are doing by that? You are repurchasing your life. Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3. Blessed are those who think of the poor. The Lord shall save them in the day of trouble. He will deliver them from crisis. He will raise them from the bed of affliction. He will not allow any evil to touch them. Take care of others. God will take care of you. Think well of others. God will protect and preserve you. That's the way it works. Are you glad you came this morning? Shout it, I am exempted. I'm a lover of God. I am addicted to God. You've got a big hand. Everybody, glory to God. Now, quickly, you have seen very clearly your identification with God determines your destiny. You are here this morning, my good friend, my brothers and sisters. You have not given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What are you waiting for? Others have left you behind. Don't you see how devastating life is for you? Don't you see how you are struggling? You are smiling outside, but inside you, you know you are suffering pain. For how long will you continue that way? Jesus is calling you now. Jesus is calling you now. You are so precious to him, he's calling you now. Even in your sinfulness, he's still caring for you, he's still calling you. Even in your headiness, he's still calling you. Even in your drunkenness, he's still calling you. I know God is talking to somebody here this morning. If you are the one, why won't you repent today? Repent and stop suffering. Repent. Return home. Return to Jesus. He is the lover and savior of your soul. Well, I know you will not delay. I know you will not delay. Delay is dangerous. I know you will not make excuses. Excuses can turn you into exclusion. Right now, make up your mind. Decide for Jesus. Nobody ever regrets following Jesus. Your days of regret are now over. Wherever you are seated, you have not given your life to Jesus, and you need to do so now. I mean now, not later. I want you to rise to your feet. Stand to your feet, wherever you are, whosoever you may be. I love you. I respect you. But you must obey God. You must be born again. You must be free from sin and from the power of the devil. Wherever you are, stand to your feet. Now, maybe you are here this morning. You gave your life to Jesus before, but you backslidden. You backslidden. And you want to be restored back to the faith. Stand up as well. Stand up as well. All of you who have stood up and who are making decision to follow Jesus, take your Bible, take whatever you come to church with, start coming to the altar, and I want you to hasten your step. Don't let the devil hold you down. Some of you are still seated, and your mind is already standing up. Stand up right now. Put it to work right now. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Life is a risk without Jesus. Life is insecure without Jesus. Come on, church, give Jesus a big hand. Can't you see how God is answering your prayer? You have been praying for souls to be saved. Now they are coming. You must appreciate Jesus for bringing them into his kingdom. Now, all of you who are coming, quickly come. Somebody is seated there. You are not sure of your salvation. You are not sure. You are saying, I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure. Now, why don't you stand up right now and get sure? Stand up right now and get sure. Stand up right now and get sure. Stand up right now and get sure. You are still trying to decide, should I go? Should I not go? Don't let the devil hold you down. Indecision is a scheme of the devil to hold you down. Stand up right now. Come quickly. Come quickly, come quickly, come quickly. I can see 10 more people who are standing up. You are one of them. Stand up right now. Jesus is calling you. Oh, church, another big hand for the Lord. Another big hand for the Lord. Another big hand for the Lord. Now, the Spirit of God, listen to me, the Spirit of God is telling me how some people are doing right now. There are individuals who are seated and they are saying to themselves, if this man stops, I will not come out. But if he says it one more time, I will come out. So because of you, I'm saying it one more time. I'm saying it one more time. You know you are not happy with your life. You are frustrated. You are downcast. You know you are still living in sin. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. But the Spirit of God tells me that that's what you are thinking right now. So I'm calling you just one more time. Stand up now. Run down here. Now. Now. I know you are coming. I know you are coming. I know you are coming. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, they are coming. They are coming. They are coming from everywhere. They are coming from everywhere. They are coming. Thank you, Lord. They are coming. I can see some people from the back. If you are at the back there, run down here quickly. It's only you I'm waiting for. Run down. Run down quickly. God bless you. Now, all of you, my friends in front here, please put your right hand on your heart and pray this prayer desperately. Say with me, Lord Jesus, please have mercy on me. I know I'm a sinner. I come to receive your salvation right now. Lord Jesus, save me. Make me your child. From today, I will not offend you again. I receive your power to live for you all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a big hand, everybody. All of you in front here, please follow our church officials to the right, to the left, as they guide you. Church, aren't you glad God is saving souls this morning? It's worthy of our prayer. Now, if you are watching us live, anywhere, any part of the world, please look at the screen. Quickly respond to the instructions out there. Do it now. Do it now. Now. And you will get our response almost immediately. God bless you mightily.